gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, and we are going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Friday, June 7th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Friday, Melody.
Oh, I'll tell you what, TGIF, it was it's a good day to be Friday, that's for sure. But it's always great to be here to join the listeners every day at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can listen to the radio program live by going to the website, dgscoins.com, going to the radio page, click on that little bar, and yes, every day, Monday through Friday, 4 Eastern, we're live. And of course, you can always catch the archive programs, the rebroadcasts or the archives right from the website. So, good day, another good day in gold today. It did back off the highs by about $7-$8. New York spot price after market, we're looking at $13.41.30, up $5.50. Silver was up 10 cents. Yay, it closed over $15.07. $15.07. How about that? Up 10 cents. Platinum was up $3 at $810, and palladium was up $9 at $13.66. So a good day in all the precious metals. And that's all due to a weaker dollar, down 0.41 at 96.58. Crude oil was up $1.48 at $54.07. But even with the poor jobs report, the Dow managed to be 263. And we're going to talk about why. And it's all about rate cuts. And it really is amazing. Instead of saying, Dave, well, if we need rate cuts three, I've heard three by the end of the year.
Yep.
How good are things? I mean, it's... Yeah. Anyway, hey, 263 points. The Dow is up a little over 1% at 25,984. The NASDAQ is up 126 at 77.42. The S&P is up 29 at 28.73. Wall Street, they're all going to help President Trump to get reelected, but I think they're starting a little early. We've got another whole year and a half to go, but 10-year yield, 2.8%. I saw, Dave, there's expectations of that dropping to 1.75. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see. It's almost there. The fear and greed index, we have the emotion driving the market. Is fear at 33. That's popped a little bit. It was hovering around 24. And let's see. And other than all the discussions on the rate cuts and everything, it seemed to be a fairly quiet day after the job creations plummeted in May. With non-farm payrolls, they were up by just 75,000, even as the unemployment rate remained at a 50-year low. The decline was the second in 4 months that payrolls increased by less than 100,000. We continue to see show signs of weakening in the labor market. And economists, they were looking for big numbers. They were looking for 180,000. I think ADP was looking for 170. In addition to the weak total for May, the previous 2 months' reports saw substantial downward revisions. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Downward revisions. March's, but nobody seems to care about those. March's count fell 20%, and the April total was down 15%. Dow Jones Industrial Average Futures did turn negative before reversing course today. And again, as we spoke, the 10-year Treasury fell to its lowest level since 2017, Dave.
Well, broadly speaking, Melody, today's report amounted to another dark spot, coming amid fears of a larger sputtering in growth and perhaps a coming recession, almost turning into a matter of when, not if. You know, there's no almost in our futures, but the conventional wisdom on the Wall Streeters' thinking. Anyway, Charlie Ripley, who's an analyst for Alliance Investment Management, said that today's report provides further evidence that the end of the business cycle is upon us and economic activity is slowing. Now, the government's reported unemployment rate, as Melody alluded to, remained at 3.6%. It's in line with forecasts, and again, the lowest in 50 years. But a broader, and we believe a much more realistic measure that encompasses discouraged workers and the underemployed who hold part-time jobs, mainly for economic reasons, sometimes called the real unemployment rate, for good reason, that is at 7.1%. Now, on the one hand, that's the lowest reading since December 2000. On the other, it proves that our economy is nowhere close to being at full employment.
Well, you know, another important factor in this report was that wages gains also slowed a bit. Average hourly earnings year over year were up 3.1%. That's 0.1 point lower than expectations. And of course, the average work week held steady at 34.4 hours. Job growth came primarily from professional and business services. They saw 33,000 new hires. Healthcare expanded by 16,000. Construction added 4,000. Manufacturing, 3,000. And the sector that lost jobs was retail, and they lost 7,600 jobs, 7,600. Most of the other industries showed little change on the month. Overall payroll gains have averaged 164,000 in 2019. This is a sharp decline from the 223,000 for all of 2018. So, you know, there didn't seem to bother the markets, Dave.
They see some positive in that report's bad news. I mean, this report today does come at a time with the U.S. economy at a crossroads. And now that the job market is showing continuing signs of strain, economists and investors, you know, now firmly believe the Fed will move to cut rates this year, possibly as early as next month. And possibly as early as, and possibly as many as three times.
I know, that's amazing.
Yeah, I also think it's wrong. I think it's wishful thinking. But you never know. The Fed, I like to say, has a hard time getting out of its way most of the time. And even though investors have been worried about slowing growth, you know, particularly with these trade wars, the trade war between the U.S. and China, and now possibly Mexico, which we'll know for sure on Sunday or Monday, global growth is slowing as well. World Bank earlier this week revised its 2019 and 2020 forecasts again, downgrading their estimates of growth in the next 2 years. Fed officials have been watching the data closely. As listeners know, you know, in recent days, comments from several Fed policymakers, including the chair himself, Jerome Powell, seemed to have opened the door for these rate cuts, though the timing remains uncertain. Markets, however, are pricing in a summer reduction, again, likely in July, followed by another cut in September or October, and a third either in December or early next year.
You know, Dave, they're not going to do these cuts unless there's some reason, which means additional pressure on these markets, I would think. So if they're expecting cuts by July, I mean, what we've seen in the recovery in the paper markets, they know it's temporary. Because what else, other than the yield, I mean, what else is there to give them the need? I mean, I get that our economy is slowing and everything, but what is the one factor that pushes Powell to cut rates? He has to have a pretty strong reason other than, well, we're seeing a little bit of weakness.
Well, it's going to be ironic, I believe, because he and his peers, colleagues, continue to get pressure from, you know, the White House, from Wall Street, and, you know, as on the one hand, they see these numbers getting worse, you know, with slowing job growth, with a pretty steep cut in GDP growth. you know, they're going to get continued and maybe even ramped up pressure to start to cut earlier than later. Now that's even, you know, I got to believe, you know, the what's happened to the paper markets this week isn't helping that rate cut cause. But on the other, as growth continues to decline and get closer to zero, and as the yield curve continues to be inverted in a more, you know, in a more steeped fashion, we're going to find ourselves in a recession real soon. And the Fed's going to find itself, you know, having begun to cut to appease, you know, Wall Street, which it seems to see as the overall economy these days, and they're not going to have nearly enough room to have an impact. And I don't know what happens. I just don't know that there's enough wherewithal in Congress that, you know, there might just be enough deficit hawks in the Senate anyway that, you know, will make it real difficult for McConnell to come up with, you know, 60 votes that he's going to need, I believe, to say put in a big infrastructure plan or some other kind of stimulus.
But that's where they're headed. And it is going to be interesting to follow out, because the big things that are really, I think, creating the cracks or the holes or what, I mean, those are things that will just shoot out once it starts to unfold. But so it is going to be really interesting to see what will be the catalyst. And but everybody knows, I mean, I don't know what people need to be told in order to get your money out of the paper. You know, you can always go back in. You know, once the prices drop, hey, go back in and buy low. Remember that? Buy low, sell high. I know it's difficult, but and we've seen, I know it was yesterday, was it the World Bank? I can't remember which one it was. They were kind of reporting a little bit of a stronger growth for the U.S., but the Atlanta Fed, they're expecting the second quarter GDP to be a modest 1.5%, and that's right after that big jump, the unexpected 3.1% growth that we saw in the first quarter. The chief economist at Wilmington Trust, Luke Tilley, he said that the slowing in hiring fits with the slowdown in ISM manufacturing and other data, and appears to be a result of trade tariffs and uncertainty about the trade war. Stocks initially sold off in the report, then they moved higher, as we talked about earlier. And but again, he's looking at the they're pricing in 325 basis point rate cuts for 2019. Mm-hmm. So it's just that's what they're expecting.
Yeah, the markets, I guess, pricing in a 95% chance now of a quarter point hike in July. You know, the Fed meets June 18th and 19th, and then again the last 2 days of the month in July. You know, apparently...
You mean a reduction?
Yes, I beg your pardon. Did I say hike? Yeah, it is reduction. I'm sorry about that.
That's good. That's good.
And, you know, it's, you know, the tariffs apparently continue to make people nervous, because they must be seeing in a number of their own internal reports, you know, how particularly, you know, with China now ramping up on this other $325 billion of goods, how that could really affect the U.S. companies' earnings and profits over the next 6 months to a year. So, in any event, market's going to have a hard time moving ahead, the paper market, that is.
Well, you know what I believe the turnaround was? I believe they released information to the markets to let it know that they weren't going to be tariffs on Mexico on Monday.
Maybe.
Oh, they're not. They're not it, huh?
That's a very insightful view, I believe.
Because I can't believe that if there these tariffs were actually going to be placed on Mexico on Monday, we would have had the turnaround that we had today. We could have had a turnaround, but not to the degree that we did. But we'll see on Monday. And you know, we have seen a great rise in gold and silver. And this is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. We've seen everybody coming into the market. We've seen both metals push to four-month highs. And gold is just 1% away from his 52-week intraday high of $1,349 from February. Silver is still a little below 7% from its same high of $1,616 in February. But, hey, silver's been on a gradual but steady rise for the past 10 days. And now there's a lot of analysts out there believe that it may soon surpass that level. And if you look at the charts, Todd Gordon, he's an analyst, a number analyst, says that the he says gold should climb as high as $1,500. Well, you know, that's just in the near term. They're not talking about long term and where it will finally go. But at least we're moving upward. And, you know, we're looking at 1320. That's still a nice rise in the near future, considering we're heading into the summer months, which is usually, you know, quiet, but as everyone is on vacations. But Gordon points out that gold rallied from 250 in 2001 to nearly 2000 in 2011. And we have been stuck in this trading range. For the past how many years? Three? of basically, 1,200 to 1,300, 1,350. So.
Yeah, well, at least it's gold anyway has been steadily climbing this year. Since January, it's risen by over $100, 107, I believe. 106, 107, or 8.5% from 1,237 early in the year all the way to, you know, where it is today in the 1340s, because it's knocking at former highs. You know, some, like Gordon, believes the next 60 will see a lot of what they call buy stops going off, which is when traders place orders ahead of time to buy something once it hits a specific price. Gordon believes that kind of activity could lead to an immediate acceleration in gold's climb, lifting it back to its February high at least, and as high as $1,500. Announce in a relatively short period of time. Now, that's reason alone, ladies and gentlemen, to get in before the price really takes off. Don't wait until it skyrockets. Take advantage of today's prices and add gold to your portfolio now.
And you know, when if gold moved to 1500, that opens up a whole lot of doors of interest. And they can, you know, let the paper pushers push it. And because as soon as that happens, then you'll see, because there's going to be other things happening too at the same time, like rate cuts, the falling dollar, and everything else that will take gold even higher and more interest. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need 100% of the investment population in gold. We'll be happy with 2 or 3%, and that'll push gold to $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And heading into the break, I think we can talk about gold prices rising in both gold and silver. And, you know, Dave, you made an interesting point that you thought that the Fed might be doing something in July. And, you know, my question, and you offered to perhaps find out, my question is, if they do something in July, what are they expecting in the fall? You know, usually August and September are really the worst trading months of the year. It just happened that the biggest crashes came in October, but the most volatility is August and September. I think September is the most volatile month. So are they anticipating so they would do something like that? And also, you know, if you believe government's reports, why would they cut it all? So they're expecting something. And again, it just shows how desperate, as Dave said, they're desperate. They're grasping for straws because they know it's coming.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, it'd be nice to get a look inside of some of their thinking. Yeah, I mean, as we know, the Fed does almost always too little too late reacting to these kinds of moves in the market. Are they going to make a move sooner and try and ward off a recession? I mean, do they believe they can actually pull that off? I mean, the question is, well, you know, certainly a cut of 0.5% will result in at least a temporary rebound in the stock markets. The question is, with that added wealth, what does corporate America do? You know, are they going to reinvest in either their workers or in research and development? Are they going to push more manufacturing? And, you know, something that's going to have a real impact on GDP, something that will perhaps delay, maybe even ward off a recession. Or is, you know, the other side of it, I mean, I'm sure there's some who must believe quietly that it's inevitable, that it's probably already too late, that if we're not in one now, one's coming, you know, real soon. So again, that just comes back to, you know, if they cut rates, which are already historically low, and the recession hits, what are they going to do? They're certainly going to put a lot of pressure on a highly divided Congress.
And we know what these corporations would do. They're not going to trickle down anything. However, here's another idea, is the reason we're doing the rate cuts is because you have the rest of the world, like Europe and everybody else, that's truly falling out of bed. I mean, that they are having bad problems. Their GDPs are dropping like rocks. And when they go, it affects us too. So perhaps this is more, I mean, granted, there's no true strong fundamentals to define our economy because it's all based on stimulus. It's all based on debt. So, you know, I think we are at some sort of turning point, and I don't think the Fed thinks. I think they just react. You know, like you said, they're usually too late anyway. So I think they're just react. They always just react. But who knows? You don't know what they're getting from the Fed. You don't know what they're getting from the administration, what instructions they're getting, and so forth. So
No. What do you mean instructions? They're independent.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And it's crazy, but you know, I don't know if we want to go into this in length, but I found this kind of interesting that we talk about nobody. You know, corporations, they don't trickle down anything. And, the number of stock buybacks in 2018, and supposedly these corporations have so much cash, they don't know what to do with it. And, I saw a big headline today, Dave, that, they can go to the space station for $50 million a trip. So,
not too bad. Not too bad.
Did you want to talk a little bit about that, or did you want to move on?
Just briefly. I mean, we talk about this, so listeners are pretty, I think, well informed. About U.S. companies raked in a record, $2.3 trillion in corporate profits last year. The country's total wealth increased by $6 trillion to almost $100 trillion. 40% of that went to those with wealth over $100,000. Where's all that money going? Well, large companies around the world, at least according to the IMF, are almost unanimously, certainly overwhelmingly, choosing not to reinvest much of that money into their own businesses or into their employees. They're hoarding it in cash, and as Melody said, buying back a lot of stock. And, with $2 trillion of unused capital, I just don't see. I mean, the top 1% of U.S. households already holding a record $304 billion in cash. They held $15 billion 11 years ago before the financial crisis. It's amazing what a little bit of quantitative easing will do to wreck the economy.
Wow. Let me ask you a question. If all this cash went into the markets, what would it do to inflation? Anything?
Well,
or is it not enough?
Apparently not, according to the government's CPI numbers. Now, we know that, the reported numbers, 1.7%, excluding the oh-so-volatile food and energy. But that's absurd. There's no way it's that low. Unfortunately, we're at largely at the mercy of the methodologies of our government. And
only if you don't own gold and silver are you at their
mercy.
Well,
there you go. Yep. There you go. That's point well taken.
But it's gonna be an interesting fall. And it's gonna be interesting from here on out, I believe. It's not gonna be sleepy. We're not gonna have sleepy years for a while. So this is interesting. Mexico, they're going to send its National Guard to its border with Guatemala to stem the flow of these undocumented migrants. This move comes as Mexico is trying to hash out the deal with the administration. And the Mexico's foreign minister, Marcelo Ebrard, he says that we have explained that there are 6,000 men and women that they will be deployed there. In past years, the undocumented, the illegal migrants who crossed the U.S.-Mexican border were mostly Mexicans, but increasingly they are Central Americans. And so the talks between the U.S. and the Mexican officials were back on today. So,
well, you heard Melody's opinion in the first segment that these machinations yesterday and today are all about that these tariffs on Mexico aren't going to happen. But, President Trump reiterated just yesterday that if the two countries can't work out an agreement by Monday, the 5% tariffs will be effective Monday on all goods imported from Mexico. Now, both Mexican and White House officials are saying significant progress is being made There's a question in my mind, you know, whether there's some other agenda that will force our president to move ahead with you know, what he had been what he's been warning. But we do know that, you know, for the first time, a number of fellow Republicans in Congress, particularly in the Senate, are talking right now. They're you know, saying that you know, they've been willing to give him a lot of room, but this goes too far. They must be hearing from their Wall Street contributors. You know, the I guess the prospect of, you know, these tariffs with Mexico going up as much as 25% by October, you know, that's got to be scaring.
It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
That's going to be scaring the bejesus out of a number of elected officials.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't believe that's going to happen. But I do think they believe Trump would do anything, so that's what puts them on the thing. But personally, then it's not going to happen. But hey, I have been wrong in several times in my life, Dave.
Nah. We learn. We learn.
Oh, okay.
We try to learn. We try to learn from our.
Well, we're going to take a little bit of a curve here. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about China. We're going to talk about NASA. We're going to talk about Mario Draghi. But first, we're going to talk about Revenue is Golden. We didn't get a chance to get to it on Wednesday, so it's a good time to move this up. We perhaps, you know, we got a few minutes left of this segment, and it's about smartphones and felines. Tell us more.
Yeah, certainly. Whoa, how does this relate to gold and silver?
Yeah.
You may ask. Well, let's put it this way. Even some gold and silver owners have smartphones, and a number of us certainly have cats. Although Melody and I are dog people for, thank you. But yes. Anyway... You know, move over flat screens. You know, come on down, iPhones and Galaxies. RCA consoles are now officially rolling over in their graves. Smartphones are officially the king of media. You know, for the first time, U.S. adults this year will spend more time using their mobile devices than they'll spend watching TV. That's according to eMarketer Incorporated. About 70% of that time will be spent on smartphones. That's amazing. The changes have huge repercussions for everyone from traditional media companies to app developers, not to mention advertisers. You know, smartphone supremacy means that video viewing is shifting from our TV sets and on the mobile devices. U.S. adults' TV time will drop 9 minutes this year, but their digital video time will increase by 8. eMarketer estimates. That means that the overall time that people spend watching movies, shows, and videos will remain the same. It's just that they'll watch them on tiny 7-inch phone screens instead of their 60-inch flat screens. Sounds like it's going to be a good time to be an eye doctor, Melody. You know, next up, felines and amputations. You know, New York is one signature away from becoming the first state in the U.S. to ban cat declawing. Practice advocates say serves no benefit to felines and is done almost out of convenience to the owners.
It's ridiculous.
The bill would impose a $1,000 fine on veterinarians who perform the procedure for non-medical purposes. That means pet owners in the state would no longer be able to have their cats declawed for cosmetic or aesthetic reasons. The Assemblywoman Linda Rosenthal, who is the primary sponsor, said, "The days when this procedure is cavalierly offered for the convenience of owners to protect their couches and curtains are numbered." Oh, well, the Humane Society of the U.S., you know, which advocated this legislation, explained that the procedure of declawing is not as simple as just removing a cat's nail. It requires amputating the last bone segment in a cat's toes. He likened it to chopping off the tip of a human finger at the first knuckle. They estimate that 1/4 of cats in the U.S. are declawed, and veterinarians are divided on the issue. Now, several cities and a majority of Canadian provinces have already banned the clawing. Procedure is also outlawed in a number of European countries. Melody, my crystal ball tells me that in New York State, we could be seeing a lot more sales of secondhand couches in the future if this law, when challenged, almost certainly is upheld by the courts. And that, Melody, is this week's Brevity is Golden.
You know what? I mean, it's just, I understand, but what's government got to do with, my gosh, I mean, come on. I mean, they can't.
Well, you're suggesting government overreach?
Particularly New York. I mean, what is, they're just nuts up there. And I know I have lots of customers in New York, and I know you guys are all sane because you buy gold and silver from me. But and listeners, you know, I get that. But I mean, it's just like, what is going on? Don't they waste so much time when there's so many more important things? Now, I wouldn't want to see any animal abused. I mean, my gosh. Anyway, let's move on before I get myself in trouble.
NASA's open for business. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes, I did. And again, it's just like, it's. Does anybody else think that these? I mean, what world are we living in? But so yes, as I mentioned earlier, NASA is opening up the International Space Station for business, and they're going to lay it out. It's planned to do so at the NASDAQ stock exchange. I guess they did. Companies will be allowed to bid for new activities on the ISS, the International Space Station, as NASA unveiled a new directive to enable commercial manufacturing and production and allow both NASA and private astronauts to conduct new commercial activities aboard their orbiting laboratory. Now, is that frightening or what? Lord knows what they're doing up there. And, you know, you have all these people, you know, like, what the Amazons, you know, with all their government space contracts with NASA. I mean,
this will be interesting. I mean, aside from, you know, the national security issues that could be raised, you know, just the culture of space living. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that may change as, you know, non-seasoned astronauts begin to join the real ones up there.
Well, I know a few I'd like to send up first. But first,
live on Wall Street?
Yeah. And D.C.
Indeed.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. And it is Friday, June 7th, 2019. And we've had a nice week in gold, and silver is finally closed up about 15. And we'll have to see if it all holds. It's going to be an exciting week next week. So we did run a special in your blog today. Did that blog get out yet, Dave?
No.
Well, maybe we'll make this offer. It's only going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. Did you already send that out? Or?
Oh, well, that's, you know, that's a good question. You know, I have to look. I honestly don't know if it's there with me.
Did you have the special in there?
No, 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 it is out. It is out with just a notice to call the office for info on the specials.
Well, what we do have, ladies and gentlemen, and I just have one box, first come, first serve basis. So yes, this program is replayed. You can call and leave a message, but it's let's see, I don't know, this just came to my idea right now, so to offer it. We sent out on a blog, but what we can do is offer it for you, ladies and gentlemen. So that's why I didn't have the information right in front of me. So let me pull it up here. And what it is, it's going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. There's only one box of 500 American Silver Eagles. It's a sealed box, monster box. They're backdated. And there's a $200 savings off of the 2019 box of Silver Eagles, and that is $8,665. And it's a great buy, $200 savings. It includes your shipping cost, but it's first come, first serve. So pick up the phone and dial 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And folks, if you hear this at the 8 o'clock show, the 8 o'clock time slot, give us a call, because it is Friday and everybody's busy, so it might still be available. Highly unlikely, but it might be. So give us a call and find out. That's first come, first serve, one only. I mean, we have tons of Silver Eagles, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of 2019s. This was just a one only, backdated, sealed monster box, $200 savings, $8,665. Google is warning us, Dave, that or the Trump administration, that it risks compromising national security if it goes ahead with export restrictions on Huawei. It also asked to be exempted from any ban. Some senior officials at the U.S.-based tech giant have warned it wouldn't be able to update its Android operating system on Huawei smartphones, prompting the Chinese company to develop its own version of the software. So, Huawei modified version of Android, Google argued, could then be more vulnerable to hacking risks. So we know that the administration did blacklist the Chinese technology giant in a policy move that will prevent it from buying semiconductors or software and other components from American suppliers.
Well, yeah, the government is warned that Huawei presents a security risk, supposedly because the equipment it supplies to telecom carriers all over the world could be compromised to aid spying and surveillance by China. The Commerce Department, our Commerce Department, decision to restrict Huawei and 67 of its affiliates from purchasing American supplies significantly jeopardizes Huawei's networking and smartphone operations. Under the order, U.S. suppliers are able to appeal for special approval to continue selling to Huawei. This week, Huawei's chair told a small group of American reporters that Google is working with the Commerce Department to find a solution. I said Huawei's chair. I meant Google's chair. Sorry about that.
Well, you know, while the world, or I should say the Western world, was focused on Normandy yesterday, the celebrations, basically, not the celebrations, but the commemoration this week, China and Russia had meetings. And they came out and said, hey, they're the best of buddies. But they're looking to promote the 5G in Russia. And, you know, they are forging this relationship ahead with their relationship. And I don't know. I don't know if the world is just in such bad condition that, you know, they're making their friendship, if they can really make a difference. You know, so unless there's war, then I wouldn't, you know, put anything behind them. But so it'll be interesting to see how that follows through, if it was just, again, just a whole bunch of propaganda that we're so used to receiving, Dave.
Yeah, really. Really. Well, you know, Mario Draghi, who's the president of the European Central Bank, normally when he speaks, markets, European markets anyway, usually take notice. Back in 2012, he effectively ended the Eurozone's sovereign debt crisis, at that time anyway, by promising to do whatever it takes to protect the euro. His words were so effective that many believe the market never tested his resolve. That crisis abated, even as the economy went into a long and, you know, slow, we'll call it a malaise. You know, in the face of it, his comments after the ECB monetary policy meeting yesterday, which was held in Lithuania, were almost as aggressive as those he spoke in 2012. He was obviously determined to convince all that he was prepared to be far more dovish if necessary. He even suggested he had room to resort to more quantitative easing, bond purchases, if necessary.
Well, you know, and the market didn't really take him all that seriously. The euro somehow strengthened against the dollar, exactly the opposite of what should happen. Of course, when a central banker hits that interest rate cuts. But then again, our bank did the same thing. So, and this is partly because Draghi is halfway out the door. He is leaving, isn't he?
He is leaving.
But we also know that the ECB is also running out of ammunition. I mean, how low can their rates go? The balance sheet is loaded. And it doesn't have anything like as much freedom of movement as the Federal Reserve. The need to do something is clear enough. The Eurozone's economy has not lagged behind the U.S. as badly as many believe since the single currency came into being in 1999. But the latest dip, while the U.S. is gaining strength, you know, it's a concern to a lot of people out there. Also, that another problem is that, as they tell us, the inflationary expectations appear to have become untethered, Dave.
Well, the German bond market is signaling inflation of less than 0.8% over the next 10 years. That's lower than any point when the sovereign debt crisis was at its height from 2010 to 2012. And it's approaching its lowest since the euro's inception. You know, the European Central Bank has another deflation scare in its hands. You know, the Achilles heel responsible for Europe's relative weakness in its banking system. The price-to-book multiple that shareholders pay for bank shares is as good as an indicator of this as any. Ever since the first Greece bailout crisis broke out in, you know, early 2010, European banks have traded at a discount to their book value, and a big discount to banks in the U.S. That explains, or largely explains, why the ECB needs to keep propping up the banking system with targeted help. Sound familiar? Draghi is due to leave at the end of October. That's just when the UK is due to leave the EU. Yeah, would you want to be a successor, Melody?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're the woman. See, there is confidence, ladies and gentlemen, of a successful United States businesswoman, someone who's been providing unsurpassed customer service for the last 25 years. You're nuts if you don't do business with her.
Well, thank you. Central banks, you know, we talk about depreciating currency and, you know, how it boosts global economies. We've seen these central banks, they've unloaded trillions of dollars of stimulus and efforts just to push the inflation above 2% in countries. They lie, from the U.S. to Japan, all the way across the Eurozone. But they tell us nothing seems to be working. One radical idea that could boost spending and help resuscitate more abundant economies is Silvio Gesell's proposal for depreciating money. Money, if not spent, would lose its value by 5% a year, and that would encourage people to spend rather than hold on to it. Such a plan would radically boost the velocity of money, giving a major boost to developed economies where services account for a hefty majority of the economic growth. So in Gesell's world, money becomes a hot potato that note holders tried to use before it lost value.
One way, I guess, of holding on to fiat currency. By the way, I enjoyed your subliminal messaging at the beginning of they lie.
They lie. Governments lie.
Well, it's you know, it's interesting. That idea has been tried before. You know, the mayor of Wörgl, Austria, used the town's funds to put Gesell's depreciating currency into rotation and managed to stimulate a minor boom in the midst of the Great Depression. Obviously, this goes back nearly 100 years, but, you know, this so-called Wörgl miracle, maybe it's Wörgl, became the object of immense fascination, and other municipalities copied it in Europe, until Austria's central bank became worried about losing its monopoly over issuing currency. Not long afterward, the nation's highest court ruled that emergency currency was, listen, illegal.
Ooh, and wouldn't that be Wörgl? Wörgl? Isn't that how...
I like that. I like that. Austrian with a little French twist.
Well, you know, it does. And we do have see these countries who put, to try to manipulate their currency to the downside to give them some benefit in their trade and so forth. And ours is strong and it's hurting. And it follows through. And depreciating currencies, it's been studied by academics. They're trying to find a way for central banks to circumvent the zero bound in interest rates as recently as the 90s. While it's unlikely the Fed is going to jump in on this bandwagon anytime soon, there's some analysts that believe that the idea of a depreciating currency could serve the U.S. and global economy in the event of another turndown. So, depreciating currency indicates higher inflation. Yes. Which is what governments want anyway because of the amount of debt that they have, that they carry. So ultimately, that's what it's all about. Governments are going to let it go. They might be controlling inflation now to the best of their, for whatever interest they might have at this point in time, but in the end, it's going to skyrocket. And that's just what's going to happen. And, I mean, we've seen these central banks. They've pushed their interest rates into negative territory. Governments have increased debts to historically unprecedented levels. Unorthodox means may be required to dig the world out of its next hole. And I think that's exactly, the only way that we're going to dig ourselves out of the hole is they're going to have to default on the debts. That's the only way. But they can play with it as they want. And guess who's there to pick up the pieces, ladies and gentlemen? Mm-hmm. It's always on the taxpayer's back. So, well, get ready.
You know, speaking of skyrocketing, Melanie, it looks like our last story of the day is about healthcare and emergency rooms.
Take it away.
Well, ER prices are skyrocketing these days. No surprise to those of us who've had to use it recently, and experts say that may be a side effect of the same factors that leave patients on the hook for unexpected bills. ERs are collecting more money from private insurance plans, and at the same time, they're also surprising patients with the news that their care wasn't covered. So whether you're covered or not, you're paying more. And by the way, as someone who's been affected by this within the past month, don't always assume your insurance company is right. I got a bill for several hundred dollars that was supposedly an out-of-network expense that wasn't. So pay attention to these things, and when you see something that you don't believe is correct, really follow up on it, because sometimes you can beat City Hall. In any event, prices hospitals negotiate with insurers have gone up since 2008, as have patients' out-of-pocket costs. And that doesn't even include ER care that isn't covered by insurance. That's the source of many of the surprise bills that have sparked so much political controversy.
Prices are not going down, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly healthcare is not in the true inflation rate of 1% that they tell us. But what we are, we're out of time. 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back on Monday. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If I got me